Last week, Pastor Gretchen started our series on the surprises of God. And today's message has a few surprises. God not doing what God normally does. There's a wizard, and there's professional wrestling. Now, if you come to the Irvin household, my two girls dominate the TV with Disney Plus. Now, if you ask Erin what she wants to watch, it's Bluey. But if you ask Piper what she wants to watch, recently it's the newest Little Mermaid, or it's the Disney Princess Lego movie, or it's Cinderella, or Beauty and the Beast, or I think you get the point that Piper and Erin love to watch Disney. So Elena and I, we don't get many opportunities to watch TV. And if you have young kids, you probably have experienced the same. But there are those moments where Elena could watch her shows NCIS or Bones. Together, if we're able to watch, we watch Masterpiece, we watch Downton Abbey, we watch a show called Grantchester. It's a personal favorite of mine because it involves a priest, so a little biased there. But then if I could watch by myself, I think you guys know I loved ice hockey. In fact, after district conference, I snuck out those doors, went over to the Brethren house to work on today's sermon, and I had to turn on Penn State. And I was able to watch the last half as they beat Illinois. I think the final score was 30-13, if I remember correctly. But sometimes I give in to my base. Sometimes I just turn her on because it's either a Monday night, sometimes it's on Tuesday night, it's on Wednesday night, it's on Friday night, it's on Saturday night. I turn on professional wrestling. Does that surprise some of you guys that I watch professional wrestling? Now, I remember I had to be 4 or 5 years old. This was before remote control, so I actually had to walk up to the TV, and there was two knobs on the television, one for channels like 1 to 27, 1 to 30, and then there was another knob for like 30 to 99. Actually, I had to walk up there, and my dad would tell me, Ian, go up in there and turn it to channel whatever, and then I'd walk back, and then my dad would be like, Ian, no, there's this other box on the side of the television. I remember being dark gray, and it was just a circle dial, and I had to turn it until the static was gone as much as possible from the, and at 4 years old and 5 years old, I didn't realize what it was, but we had this big antenna on the backside of the house, and it would rotate the antenna so we could watch the World Wrestling Federation and WWF Superstars. Go to my slides, please. And I would remember, my next slide, please. There'd be the Macho Man, Randy Savage. How many of you remember Randy Savage? And the epitome of 80s professional wrestling, because brother, he would tell me to say my prayers and eat my vitamins, because if you don't, what you gonna do if Hulkamania goes wild on you? Thanks. I've been practicing all week. All week. But neither one of these guys were my favorite professional wrestlers. It was, in fact, if you get on my next slide, I came to age a little bit later. It was the Hart Foundation, and specifically the guy on the right, Bret the Hitman Hart, the excellence of execution, the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. He was so smooth in the ring. He made it look real. Now I know if I finish up the sermon and I was to go out there, I know what question will be asked. Ian, you know professional wrestling is fake. And I have a response. I'm getting ahead of the pass. It's not fake. It's a work. It's not fake. It's a work. And I'm looking at people's faces, and they're getting this little like squint, and they're like, what? What does that even mean? You see, there's a jargon, there's a lingo in professional wrestling, as there are in most career fields. If you're in education, you know what a 504 is. You know what an IEP is. But most other people don't. In fact, this past week at work, I was talking about things like res judicata. Cert was denied, collateral estoppel, and Zach's probably the only person in this room that knows exactly what I mean, because us lawyers have this lingo, this jargon only people inside the industry really know. And so when I say it's a work, if you watch professional wrestling, Pastor Gretchen, you know exactly what I mean. Because the question you ask actually, to me, reveals more about you than my answer reveals about me. You see, it's fake. The punches aren't real. But to throw a working punch in professional wrestling is infinitely complex. You gotta gauge the distance between your opponent and you. You actually have to oversell, because professional wrestling's bigger than life. You gotta take back, and you gotta turn your elbow, and you gotta turn your hand. And in fact, you're not even holding a fist. You have it open just enough so you could hold a raw egg and try not to break it. And you're not going through the person's jaw because you don't want to hurt them. You're coming down. In fact, when you're coming down, you might slap your arm as you're coming down so it sounds like it's flesh on flesh. You might stomp the mat so it sounds worse than what it is. The goal in a working punch is to touch the person's cheek with the fingertips. And pro wrestlers will stand in their bathroom every night working on their working punch, where they would work on this to touch the shower curtain, but not cause it to move. Every night, 100, 150, 200, 250, 300 working punches, so they could perfect it, so us as the audience thinks it's real, but it's not fake. It's a work. And so what that reveals to me when someone goes, you know, professional wrestling is fake, it says to me that this person doesn't watch professional wrestling. Because the lingo, the words, the jargon is off. Now, I mentioned Bret Hart is my favorite wrestler. I have a second favorite wrestler from the 80s and the 90s. He's the dirtiest player in the game. He's the wheelin' dealin', kiss stealin'. I see Gretchen in the back. He's the limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. I got a costume. Of course I do. And some of you probably already know who I'm talking about. I see a couple of head shakes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to make sure the wig's on, right? His name, woo, is the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And he'd come out with his robes. He'd come out with his championship belt. And he'd do a promo about how he's the best professional wrestler in the world, and because he's the best, because he has the gold around his shoulder, he's worth millions of dollars. And his promos, he'd talk about his Rolex watches, his gold diamond-encrusted rings, his alligator shoes, his bespoke custom suits. He would ride in the longest limousines and fly on a private jet. In fact, one of these robes, honestly, this is $50 from Amazon, but one of his robes sold on eBay for $27,000 because there's actual diamonds in the robe. The one thing he never talked about, though, how about this segue, was his tithes and offerings. Now, I'm not going to be a name it and claim it prosperity gospel. I'm not going to, I don't believe, and I'm never going to say that if you donate, man, you could get that $50,000 Rolex watch or those custom alligator shoes or the $27,000 robe. But what I do know is this, that your tithes and offering will help out Children Aid Society. The chaplaincy in the park. Yesterday they reported, 28,000 people were able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ over the summer through the chaplaincy in the park program. You'll help out Brethren Disaster Relief, and you'll help this church have the gospel reach out to this community and anyone else watching online. So for ushers, get prepare us for our tithes and offering. I had to take off the wig. It was getting itchy and hot, but I'll continue wearing the robe. So I mentioned earlier about a wizard and God not doing what God normally does. And we find it in this story. Larry just read it. I'm not going to go back over it. He read from a different version. I had the message up on the PowerPoint slides. But God was moving in the book of Acts. And that Philip, now I'm going to stop here. There's two Philips in the New Testament. There's Philip, an apostle of Jesus, and Philip the deacon, or Philip the evangelist. Philip was a deacon because he was appointed a deacon alongside of Stephen, who, if you go to the previous chapter, or maybe two chapters, was when he was murdered by being stoned to death by Saul. So there's two different Philips, and this is the latter Philip. And Philip goes to Samaria to preach the gospel. And there is a guy by the name of Simon. I'm going to pause here again, because I had to pause with Philip because there's two Philips in the New Testament. There are three Simons in the New Testament. Two of them are in this story. You see, we have Simon the magician here. The other Simon is Simon Peter, or Peter. Now there's another Simon. He shows up really rarely in the Gospels. There's a Simon, another apostle of Jesus Christ. There's two Simons that are both apostles. The one being the most famous one is called Simon Peter. So there's three Simons, another point of confusion. So Philip goes to Samaria, preached the gospel, but there's this guy that has everyone wrapped around his little finger. A magician. Sort of think of like Harry Houdini or David Copperfield, maybe Chris Angel. But I think he has some showmanship, sort of like, woo, the nature boy Ric Flair. I'm going to woo a lot during this. And Philip goes and starts preaching the gospel. People were being converted. They were being baptized. Simon the magician, in fact, starts believing in God and gets baptized. But there's an issue. In the book of Acts, when people convert and get baptized, almost immediately they get hit. When I was in a Pentecostal church, we would say they got hit by the Holy Ghost. You got to add the extra syllables in there. Holy Ghost. But that doesn't happen here. God does something a little bit different. The Holy Spirit hasn't fallen. And so Philip sends word back to Jerusalem, and Peter, Simon Peter, and John head from Jerusalem to Samaria and start laying hands on people, and they start getting the Holy Spirit. And this is what Simon sees. He pulls out his wallet and says, I want to purchase this power that you have. Now, historically in the church, before even the Church of the Brethren, there was a word that went around called simony, the buying and selling of religious offices and blessings and stuff like that. That word gets its source in this story. And Peter, you heard and read the condemnation that Peter had. And can I simplify it? Because the question I get is, you know, wrestling is fake. And this question's always asked by people that know about or know of professional wrestling. And when I respond, it's a work, or when I hear people say it's a work or use the lingo, I know that they actually are fans and they watch and they know about professional wrestling. But you see Simon here, he converts and is baptized. He knows of God, but he doesn't know God. Really, this is a one-point sermon. I don't want to, I had 3 points, I got a 5 points, 7 points, I got three points. No, this is just 1 point. There's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. Almost 14 years ago, I was at Wilson College, and I was sitting in Warfield, and I'm sitting there, I have them ready, I have my pencil out, I have my microeconomics book out, and in walks this redhead. I knew she played basketball. In fact, knew her name. I knew of her, but I didn't know her. 14 years later, after we got to know each other and started dating and starting our engagement and got married and started having kids, now I probably could guess, I'm looking back at her now, I probably could guess exactly what she's thinking because I know her. Previously, I knew of her. And it's probably some sort of like, he's being ridiculous. Now she would be like, yes, the Ric Flair robe is apropos. But 14 years ago, she'd be like, oh my gosh, what is this guy doing? Some of you are probably thinking about that right now. But there's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. If you go to my next slide, please, right after the scriptures. Gallup did a poll about 14 months ago. Do you believe in God was the question that they asked of everyday Americans. Now, the number wasn't as high as it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. On the, those little dots on the left-hand side of the screen you can see are approaching 100%. But in 2022, the number of people that said they believe that they know of God in America was 81%. This past June, Gallup did a poll. How many of you go to church? Go to my next slide. The number is only 31%. 26% actually come physically, with 5% attending virtually. There's a disparity there. Why does 81% believe in a God but never show up at his place of worship? And I would say that they know of God. They don't know God. If I wasn't using professional wrestling, the other example I would use is on my next slide. It's the great movie Talladega Nights, the ballad of Ricky Bobby. And there's a scene where he's gathered around with his best friend, his family, and they're gathered for a meal, and he goes, "Dear baby Jesus, all 8 pounds, 6 ounces, where was the 6 pound, 8 ounce? I forget. All 8 pounds, 6 ounces, baby Jesus." And his father-in-law speaks up, "You know he grew up and be a man. No, no, this is my Jesus. I know of, I'm praying to baby Jesus." And then they get into a discussion of Jesus being a ninja, Jesus being a warrior, Jesus being various things. And I would say that everyone there knew of God, but didn't know God. And why isn't that enough? You go to my next slide with the scripture. James 2:19 says this, "You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe, and they shudder." So what if you know of God? Satan and those that follow him know of him. That makes you know better than them. Because there is a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. Go to my next verse. I got to admit that I find this verse rather harsh. I would never phrase it this way, but it's the word of God, so I can't mince it. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I'll admit, I find this harsh, being called a liar, because when I do some introspection, I don't always follow God's commandments. So if Ian had this way, I'd be very much tempering this scripture. But I can't. And so maybe I'll phrase it this way. If I'm following God's commandments more today than I was yesterday, and more tomorrow than I am today, I'm on my way to knowing God and not knowing of God. You see, we've been to the highest mountains. We've been to the deepest part of the ocean. Some of you have been alive when we put a man on the moon, and we have been talking about putting a man or woman on Mars. But the most difficult distance to traverse is the 18 inches between my head and knowing of God to my heart and knowing God. I believe Scripture says it this way, that when someone makes that 18-inch journey from head to heart, that the heavens rejoice at a sheep being saved. Maybe you're one of those that need to make that distance, and hopefully you make and travel that distance today. If you're online, maybe you're one of those that makes that distance trip from your head to your heart today. Today, I would like to hope that there's not rejoicing in heaven. I hope that they're doing a Ric Flair strut and going, "Woo! Amen."